Back in Jeremiah, here tonight. Jeremiah, we got down through Jeremiah 37 last time. So Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. Once again, kind of in a section here, I'll get to cover quite a bit of ground pretty fast. I imagine after we finish Jeremiah here in a few weeks, we'll probably go back to Proverbs for a little bit. And then from there, we'll see. Jeremiah 38, verse 1. Jeremiah 38, 1. Now, Jeremiah is right now, in this particular section anyway, is dealing with Zedekiah, the final king Israel, or Judah, ever had. And you'll see here in just a little bit that Zedekiah is quite the man's man. He is one courageous fellow. And Jeremiah is always flirting with prison when he goes to him to tell him the truth. But in Jeremiah 38, verse 1, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Melchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, this is what Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Now you just put this in a more modern terminology. You just imagine an army being set forth, and a guy running around through the ranks telling the soldiers that what they need to do is to surrender. Imagine how well that's going to go over with the commanding general. And with the brigadier generals and whoever else is in charge. And so that's what you have here. It'd be easy enough for Jeremiah to be charged with mutiny. In this case, it's not. But it still takes a brave man to go there, right? Verse 3, then said the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and he's continuing here, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city. Jeremiah is bad for morale. Jeremiah is negative, and here you have a bunch of men that are trying to live through a siege and defend a city in a siege, and Jeremiah's running around telling them to go give up. Jeremiah's bad for morale. Jeremiah is negative. Ever heard that before? Verse 4, he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. In other words, the issue is the quality of words, the kind of words, the such words. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. And that's not true. But again, the accusation comes across. He's bad for morale. He's negative. His words are negative. And he's not even trying to do what's best for these people. He's trying to do what's hurtful for these people. You know, Jeremiah's problem is he's hateful. He hates mankind. Those were the accusations that were leveled at the earliest Christians in the Roman Empire. They hated mankind. Now, I don't know, have you been keeping up any at all? I mean, it's kind of come and gone a little bit now, but I don't know if you heard, we've seen this coming for a long time, and I don't know that it's an imminent and immediate threat, but in Missouri, I believe it was the state police, put out a report that stated that such people as would support a Ron Paul or a Chuck Baldwin, in other words, third-party candidates, that those people were basically the sinners, and they should be looked upon, as, I'm not sure all the terminology and all the language in the report, but they should be looked upon as enemies of the state. That the state police should look at them more closely with regard to, their political affiliations and all that kind of stuff. And of course, people that would be involved with that would be, gun-toting citizens and so on and so forth, right? Well, it turns out, there's such a stink raised that, was it the state police, anybody remember? Was it state patrol? Price, you know? State patrol. They fired the head of the state patrol for forwarding the report and so on. The governor found a, you know, and fired him. But nonetheless, it's still the point. Were you going to finish? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just run over you. Right. 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 Well, anyway, so they backed off of all that now, you know, and that's all fine. But the problem is that the atmosphere right now, be quiet back there on the back. The problem is that the atmosphere right now is, you know, is such that nourishes that kind of stuff. And, you know, whether it gets better or not, you know, I don't really know. We had a war over taxation without representation. Of course, technically we're represented, but then again we're not, are we? We had a war over the right to speak, you know, as we see fit. And now it's coming to a day where, you know, they're more and more, have you noticed that nobody talks about a war on terror anymore? Because they're no longer terrorists. They're something else. But they're not terrorists. Did you notice, speaking of pirates, that the pirates, according to Hillary Clinton, were just criminals? They weren't terrorists. Well, I mean, criminals are subject to law. I mean, terrorism is war. Criminal behavior is something else, but this is piracy, and she's calling them mere criminals. That's not accurate. So what's the point? Well, the point is, we've been warned about this day for a long time, and it'll probably get worse and worse, and so, you know, we're just entering into it, but the day's coming. And the Antichrist hour is coming. Anyway, don't get panicky, don't get weird or anything, but it's a strange day. All right, verse 5, then Zedekiah the king said, now these are his princes and they're insisting that Jeremiah should be killed. Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. What a stud he is, right? Good night. The king says, well, you see what you ought to, because I can't do anything against you. Verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. So imagine being in a dark prison, and on top of it you have no place to lay down. It's muck. It's just mucky mud. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king. So Ebed-Melech takes upon himself to go see what he can do about alleviating the situation. And I got thinking about it. You know, there are some pretty fine eunuchs in the Bible. You know, it was three eunuchs that tossed down Jezebel before Jehu. I like those guys. There was another eunuch. His name was I'm drawing a blank. Ashpenaz. And Daniel 1, that took Daniel under his wing. And then there was the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 10. So there's some pretty good eunuchs in the Word of God. Verse 3, Ebed-Melech, verse 8. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee, take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So now he's sending in a squad to pull Jeremiah out. Verse 11. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and lent them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto the into Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So, you know, looped it so that he didn't have to be dragged up hanging on to it. It was over his underneath his armpits. Verse 13, So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Now this is a guy that can't stand up against his own princes and can't just send an order to go do something. I mean, now he's telling that, now Jeremiah, don't you hide a thing from me. Big brave man. Verse 15. Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? With the emphasis on not. Wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek my life. Now notice, Jeremiah asked two things. Wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? Well, Zedekiah only answers the first. No, I won't kill you. But he didn't say, and I will take your advice. Didn't say that. Verse 17. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live. Now, in the Old Testament, folks, just for real brief, you know, we went through this back in Jeremiah earlier and stuff. Sometimes when it's talking about somebody's soul living, it's talking about somebody just not dying, okay? In other cases, you know, with the soul living and dying, it has to do with eternity. In other words, sometimes in Leviticus and Exodus, it's talking about the soul that sinneth, and in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is talking about eternal consequences. Looks like here it's just talking about, you know, somebody living and dying, you know, here on earth. Well, so you have to make that distinction sometimes. Verse 17, Then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given unto the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans. Remember, a bunch of the Jews already went over to the Chaldeans. And he says, lest they, the Chaldeans, deliver me into their hand, the Jews among the Chaldeans, and they mock me. Folks, sometimes man's greatest fear is being mocked. And in this case, you have a king, of course, and no king wants to go among the peasants to be stripped and mocked and abused and so on. Saul, that was what he was afraid of. That's why he fell on a sword, lest the Philistines abuse him. But here, you know, Zedekiah is straightforward, for once anyway, and admits he's just afraid of somebody mocking him. There are people that are going to go to hell for fear that somebody will mock them. There are people that won't serve Jesus Christ three steps for fear that somebody's going to mock them. And you know, mockery is something you really never quite get completely accustomed to. You know, anytime you know you go to the street after you've been off the street for a little while, a few months even, It's kind of hard to leap in the first time. You experience that? The first, to go out on a street cold and to try to hand out the first tract, it's just hard. And then to really be the one to open up this preaching, you know, everybody's walking by in perfect tranquility, and all of a sudden you're going to yell at them. It's just, it's like jumping into ice-cold bathwater. It's just hard to do because there's something about it. But once done, there's really not much to it. I mean, once you stick your foot in the water, it's just not that bad. In fact, having people curse you out, it's just not that bad. And you know what? It's hard to have a mom or dad, I'm sure. Mine never did. A mom or dad mock you and curse you, disown you, all those sort of things. I understand. But all in all, it's still a pretty small price to pay. And all in all, I tell you what I believe. I believe that it's just not just human flesh that doesn't like it too much. There's a spiritual aspect to that thing, where the Lord puts, or the devil puts something in you, where it is all you can do to go there. But it's spiritual. I believe it. I believe a lot of it's spiritual. Anyway, he says, I don't want them to mock me. Verse 20. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord. He's begging Zedekiah to do it. If Zedekiah will do it, he'll save the city to some degree, save a whole bunch of men their lives, and it says that Zedekiah is going to wind up in better condition when he's taken into captivity than he would. If you'll recall, he winds up watching his sons killed before his eyes, and then Nebuchadnezzar puts his eyes out. So, don't look now, but that's not a very noble way to be carried into captivity. Right? And he could have made it easier on himself. Verse 20. I beseech thee, the voice, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. There's that phrase again. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans. Thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. And thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. So Zedekiah has already made the trip back, where now he's saying, okay, now you can't let anybody know that we've talked. And if you will lie, then it won't matter. So Zedekiah is still on another plane. Verse 25, but if the princes hear that I've talked with thee, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee, then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. Now, whether you agree with that as being the right thing to do, the way to do it, I don't know. But that's what he said. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, and so you've got over a year in under siege. And a siege is no fun. Right? And it says, verse 2, the 11th year of Zedekiah in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. All the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsechim, Rabsaris, Nergal Sharezer. I just don't know why anybody has any problem with naming boys. It's just, there's just all kinds of treasures here. Rabmag, all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. It came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after him and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him, with the rest of the people that remained. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people, which had nothing, in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. In other words, he takes off everybody who owned the vineyards and the producers and so on, and gives, you know, the spoil to the poor of the land. Well, the poor of the land don't have anything, so they're happy to go live in the houses of the people, of the owners of the vineyards and the farms and so on, and that's how he did it. I mean, carry off the rich and the artificers, the craftsmen and so on, and the people that, you know, that own stuff, and then let the poor move in, take their stuff, and live in their houses and stuff. Well, those poor are likely to be pretty loyal to the king who takes them captive. Their lives are better now than they've ever been. And so, you know, that's basically the idea. Denny? Yeah, it's kind of spooky, isn't it? verse 11, now Nebuchadrezzar, in this case, you'll find Nebuchadrezzar spelled, I can't remember now, four or five different ways in the Word of God for some reason. Now Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. That's kind of an amazing thing there, when you stop and think about it. Why would Nebuchadnezzar give him a break? Maybe he thinks that since Jeremiah has, you know, told the people that they should go out and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, maybe that's why. I don't know. But verse 13, so Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebushazban, Rabsaris, and Nergal Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home, so he dwelt among the people. So right now, Jeremiah has more freedom under captivity than he had under his own king. Now, you can think about that a little bit. You know, it's kind of strange how what the Lord does for his people sometimes. Somebody had their hand up. Chris. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadrezzar are the same guy. Nebuzaradan is a different guy. Verse 15. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, so you're backtracking now. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given unto the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. And so in the midst of all this thing, you stop and think about this. Now, you have a personal God, okay? You have a personal God who cares about you. And in the midst of God's city, Jerusalem, the city of the great king, the beauty of the earth in the Lord's sight, and in the midst of that being under siege, it's going to be burned and torn down, right? And God's kingdom on earth is about to be shattered, at least for a long time. God's people are about to be carried away. Women will be raped, etc., etc. Property destroyed. All that's been done. God's house torn down. All those sorts of, all those things. The Lord sees fit to send word to a guy that's concerned about what's going to happen to him. And this is the guy, remember, that put in a word with the king for king King Zedekiah to get Jeremiah out of the mire, right? But for that, the Lord says, I got a personal word for you. Don't worry about it. Now, that's something, right? Verse 18. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Now, I don't know if it's referring to something else besides Ebed-Melech's, taking up for Jeremiah and trying to get him out of the miry prison or whatever. I don't know if there's anything else that he did. But whatever is the case, the Lord categorized that as putting thy trust in me. I mean, imagine what would have happened had the king turned down Ebed-Melech. And you really put yourself, talk to a king about taking one of the king's enemies out of prison. I mean, you're putting your neck on the line, don't you think? Why wouldn't Zedekiah turn him over to those princes that put Jeremiah in the mire? Maybe Ebed-Melech gets to go to the mire too, right? Back to chapter 40. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. The captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Not the Lord our God, I mean the Lord thy God. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. This is from an army general, the captain of the guard. It's amazing. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, I'll look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. And Jeremiah was faithful to the Lord, one of the few that was, and under captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, he has more latitude and liberty to do what he wants than he had under his own king. Verse 5, now while he was yet gone back, he said, Not yet gone back, he said, Go back also to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. This is the guy back in 39:14 that Jeremiah was kind of entrusted to. Whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah. So Gedaliah was further given a governorship by Nebuchadnezzar over the cities of Judah. And dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward and let him go. Here's some money. Here's some here's a credit card. Go help yourself. You can go where you want to. Verse 6. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces, which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and committed unto him men, women, and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nesariah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and Seraiah, the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi, the Nephthalite, Jezaniah, the son of a Maacathite. You say, why did the Lord do all that? Because he wants to know, you know who these people are. This guy's son, who's this guy's son? Who's this guy's son? Or this guy, whatever. He wants you to know who they are. And they and their men. Verse 9. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, swear unto them and to their men, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. And as for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven, and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah, unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields, came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and said unto him, Dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, hath sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah? He's one of those guys that were named back in verse 8. That the king of the Ammonites hath sent that guy to slay thee. But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed him not. And Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, saying, Let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee, that all the Jews which are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said unto Johanan, the son of Kareah, Thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael. Want to bet? 41:1. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Then rose Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with a sword, and slew him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. It came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came certain from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men, having their beards shaven and their clothes rent, and having cut themselves with offering and incense in their hand, to bring them to the house of the Lord. And Ishmael the son of Nethaniah went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went, and came to pass, as he met them, he said unto them, Come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And it was so that when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah slew them and cast them into the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. But 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, Slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley, and of oil and honey. So he forbare and slew them not among the brethren. Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. I couldn't find that incident. And Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with them that were slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out there is going to be problems. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and this is the guy that warned Gedaliah that Ishmael was going to kill him, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. It came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went into Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Then took Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs, whom he had brought again from Gibeon, they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. So now Johanan is concerned because there's been murder in the land, even though he didn't do it. And so Nebuzaradan's going to come back in and fix it. And he figures he's on the railroad tracks. So they're going to go off into Egypt here pretty quick. I'll give you all a break here. We did a lot of reading tonight. We'll get into some scriptures here pretty soon where we do a little more than just read. But once in a while, that's kind of a blessing, huh? Any questions or comments so far? All right, let's stand. And we will sing a couple more here before we go tonight. Number 403. One they want to sing, but gotta have go ahead and put a verse first. Everybody's quick on the draw here tonight. Brother Dave.
God has given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love from Psalm
9. Amen.
And number 156.
Okay. 156.
Thank you.
dismissed here tonight. Father, everybody's come out tonight. We mainly just read Word of God tonight. Father, there was an awful lot of heartbreak and all in all that. It's hard for us to get a hold of here now, all these hundreds, thousands of years later. But Father, we pray you'd help us to battle. May the Word of God be real to us. And we are in the midst of seeing our own tragedy in our own country right now. We pray you'd help us to abide as lights, as Jeremiah did. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.